You are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research Disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the CommBank Global Economics and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a senior economist here at CommBank. And today I'm joined by Christina Clifton, also in the Australian Economics team. And good to have you on again, Christina.
Thank you, Belinda.
Now, it's been a little while since we've touched base on the state economies. We last caught up in May about some of the main themes impacting on the various state economies in Australia. I thought it was a really good time to touch base again, not only because of the evolving coronavirus situation, but also now that we're less pessimistic on the general Australian economic outlook. So since in May, we have seen a further easing of restrictions, apart from some parts of Melbourne, which are obviously have gone back into lockdown due to the rising number of coronavirus cases there. What are some of the main themes that are currently impacting on the various state economies that you've been watching?
Yeah, so Belinda, as you mentioned, that rate at which restrictions are being eased, that's one of the major factors that's determining the relative performance of each state and territory. So as you've noted, we have seen a rise in the number of cases in Victoria and we've seen restrictions being reimposed for selected areas. So that is likely to slow the pace of recovery in Victoria, particularly in those areas. And just when people are hearing about the number of cases rising, even if you aren't in Victoria, even if you're sitting in New South Wales or Queensland, just hearing about that re-emergence of the coronavirus, it can really work to dampen people's confidence and just raise uncertainty around the economic backdrop. And we tend to see when people are feeling less confident and more uncertain, they're less likely to want to spend. So definitely something just to watch out for there, just to monitor the pace of consumer spending.
We do have the weekly card spend data that we're producing here at CommBank. What's that showing in terms of the different state trends?
Yeah, so we do have that household card spend data. It's very current. It runs up to Friday the 26th of June and it does show that spending momentum has eased a little in most states and territories. So it looks as if there was some catch-up spending as restrictions were first eased, but it looks as if spending growth has pulled back a little bit again. So we do need to watch those numbers very closely. Consumer spending makes up almost 60% of GDP. So if we start to see spending growth sort of settle back at a lacklustre level, it won't be a good sign for the overall economic outlook.
Sorry. I was just going to say, when we do look at that state-based data, we have tended to see the bigger states, New South Wales and Victoria, underperform some of those smaller states, and it looks like Victoria continues to underperform the larger states. Is that, do you think, in relation to the slower removal of some of those restrictions, or do you think there's something going on there in Victoria?
Yeah, so Victoria certainly has lagged behind the others. There was a deeper downturn in the pace of spending growth and it is now, the pickup has been a little bit slower in Victoria. Victoria was the state where the restrictions were perhaps the tightest, and they all have also been quite slow to remove restrictions. And as we've mentioned, the restrictions have been reimposed. So we think that's probably one of the major reasons why Victoria is lagging behind. Also, Victoria has a very high number of foreign students. They also attract a relatively high share of foreign tourism. So with our borders effectively shut, we don't have those tourists here to spend. And so that is impacting on Victoria and also New South Wales as well.
And I guess when we look at the various labour markets throughout the states, have we seen a difference in performance between each of the labour markets?
Yeah, so some of the really big trends have been fairly similar across the states in recent months. So we saw really large job losses in all states in recent months as the restrictions were put in place. We also saw a sharp drop in labour market participation and a lift in both under and unemployment rates pretty much in all the states and territories. In terms of where those unemployment rates are sitting, they are still a little lower in New South Wales and Victoria, So 6.4% for New South Wales and 6.9% in Victoria, whereas in WA, South Australia and Queensland, the unemployment rates are up around the 8% mark. So we really just think this reflects the fact that New South Wales and Victoria started with their unemployment rates lower than these other states. So that's probably explaining the differences there. Looking ahead, just the pace and the timing of when those borders are reopened are going to be very important for all states and territories, but particularly for New South Wales and Victoria, who do see that large share of overseas migration in the form of tourists and also students as well.
And I guess all the outlook for the housing market, in particular housing construction, will be quite important for the state-based outlooks as well. So certainly the slowdown in net overseas migration will have a bigger impact on New South Wales and Victoria, and will have a bigger impact on the downturn in the housing construction outlook as well.
That's right.
So what we're going to do now is we're going to go around each state and look at the territories, and you're going to give us a quick idea about what are some of the main themes that you're looking at for each state. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, let's start with our home state of New South Wales. What are you thinking there?
Okay, so I'll just start by saying that we have all our forecasts in the state chart back, so you can go through those and look at those in detail. But just in terms of New South Wales, we're expecting the New South Wales economy to contract over the 2019-20 financial year, and that's largely because we're expecting quite a large fall in gross state product in New South Wales in the second quarter. So as I've mentioned, there's been a fairly big hit, a very big hit to the overseas tourism sector and also the overseas education sector as well. So there is a bit of uncertainty around that as to when the borders will be reopened again. So that's something to watch for New South Wales.
And what about Victoria?
So we're expecting an even larger contraction in Victoria relative to New South Wales, and Victoria is going to be one of the states that underperforms the national average over the next couple of years. It's exposed to overseas tourism and education, and also restrictions are being lifted more slowly and are being reimposed in some cases.
All right, let's head north and go to the Sunshine State of Queensland, and they've just reopened their borders to all states but Victoria. What's the outlook and some thematics going on in Queensland?
Yeah, we think Queensland will do a little bit better than the national average because they are less exposed to the side of the economy. We're seeing the demand for coal exports hold up quite well. As you've mentioned, they've also decided to open their borders to everyone but Victorians. So that's going to release some domestic tourism spending dollars into the Queensland economy.
Okay, moving west over to Western Australia.
We also see WA as outperforming the average. So WA is heavily exposed to the commodity sector. The iron ore price is holding up quite well, and there is a decent amount of iron ore capex spending in the pipeline. One negative for WA is that a number of large LNG projects have been postponed because of the lower oil price. So that's a little bit of a dampener to the outlook for WA.
And certainly one of the things that has helped the Western Australian economy and commodities in general has been that the stimulus coming through the Chinese economy has been very commodity intensive. Moving on to South Australia now, and what's happening over there?
So South Australia will feel the slowdown in overseas student numbers. So we think the South Australian economy is set for a decent contraction over 2019-20 and 2021.
All right, now Tasmania. Now we've actually seen the housing market hold up there relatively well, but their inflation rate's actually been a lot higher than the average in Australia.
Yes, so that higher than average inflation rate largely comes down to what's happening in the housing market in Tasmania. There has been very strong demand for housing that's pushed up rents and also pushed up costs of building new houses as well. At the moment in Tasmania, their borders are still closed, but when their borders are open again, we think this state's likely to benefit from solid domestic tourism flows. So it is a very popular destination for Australian tourists.
And what about Northern Territory and the ACT? Anything remarkable happening in those two territories?
Yeah, so like Tasmania, we think the Northern Territory could likely receive some tourism dollars from Australians that may have otherwise gone overseas. We also think the ACT will, do okay given its high share of public sector employment, but they do receive a fairly high share of overseas tourists, so there'll be a bit of a hit there. And our CBA card data is showing that spending is the weakest in the ACT of all the states and territories.
It is an interesting one. And we've also got to remind everyone that there's a very big link between tourism and education as well. So generally we see a lot of people visiting overseas students studying in Australia, and that boosts tourism as well.
That's right.
Now, Christina, thank you for your insights today.
Okay, thank you.
Now, where CBA data is cited, this refers to the bank proprietary data. As the statistics take into account only the bank's data, it may not reflect all trends in the market. All customer data used or represented is anonymised and aggregated before analysis and is used and disclosed in accordance with the group's privacy policy statement. Now, the forecast and the outlook for the various state economies that Christina and I have just been talking about can be found on combankresearch.com.au, and the state chart pack with all this information was released on the 26th of June.